You're listening to Leveling Up, and I'm Arielle, your host. Hey friends, welcome back to Leveling Up. My name is Arielle, and I'm your host. This is episode 9, Endings and Beginnings. So do you ever notice that the ending of something feels markedly different than from the beginning? I just feel that endings are really awkward. The last day at a job, the last day in a home, the last time you get a latte from your favorite corner coffee shop, or in my case, a last fitness class. It all just feels so strange, and I'm even going to go so far to say is that at times an ending of something feels anticlimactic. To further illustrate, I personally don't want people to fuss over my move from Los Angeles. And for those of you who do not know, I am moving away from LA after 15 years, and I will be living in a place that's 2 hours away from LA at the Central Coast in a very small town, and I mean small town, called Santa Ynez. And I've mentioned this before, and I'll just say it again. It's near Solvang, and a lot of you know Solvang, so that gives you some sort of context. But coming back to my move, I have chosen to not have a going away party or shindig. And I hate to use the term I, but I'm going to just include my husband in this. I guess he's a part of this too. But we have decided that for reasons beyond the scope of what I'm going to be discussing here, that we're not going to have any sort of going away shindig. However, I did address in detail in my blog post from May 24th, if you're interested, as to why I'm not having a going away party and the whole minutia behind that whole thing. But I don't want to get into it here because I want to stay focused on beginnings and endings and endings and beginnings. That said, saying goodbye or see you later is just plain weird, don't you think? Especially if you're leaving a job or a place or people that you're never going to see again. Like, I'm sitting here wondering, what do you even say? Do you say, have a nice life, see you again, never? I don't know what else to really say. Or do we follow it up with, I don't know, have a nice life, see you again, when we lurk and stalk one another's Instagram? I guess in the case of my job, what I want to point out is that I wasn't fired, is that I'm choosing to not come back. And it's not that I'm choosing to not come back because of another job opportunity, it's because I'm moving out of town. So it is really strange because I'm going to be seeing colleagues between now and June 17th that for most of them, if not all of them, I'm never actually going to see again. So in context of the current role that I have right now with LAUSD, I've only been in it for 1 year. And as I've mentioned, it's an out-of-classroom role at the district office where I was promoted last year. And I was super psyched because I looked at this role and I was like, oh my God, it is all up from here, and so on and so forth. Assistant principal, principal, director, and before you know it, I'm superintendent and I'm running shit. But when I look at my role that I've only been in here for a year, I don't expect anyone to send me off or to mourn me leaving. And while I have really connected with two of my colleagues, and one of which I have known since, oh God, for years, we worked at another school site together, I don't expect my department or anyone to really miss me all that much. Now, of course, I am one of those really special snowflakes and I leave an indelible mark everywhere I go, blah, 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 how millennial of me. And yes, I did a wonderful job in this role, but my department is small. There are only 7 full-time employees in my role, and there are 30 part-time employees. And the 30 part-time employees are retired teachers and administrators. And my job is largely individual. And by largely individual, we are off-site in the field by ourselves every day. And we're rarely actually in the office together, so that FaceTime that you get from going to a job site every single day and seeing the same people every single day and being able to establish a routine every single day doesn't really exist in the nature of my job. So beyond my two colleagues that I have become really close with, you know, the other ones I don't really know very well. As a matter of fact, with the exception of the two girls that I spend a lot of my time with, I have no idea what the name of my colleagues' spouses are. And it's not that I'm an unfriendly person. It's just that that just goes to show you how little we interact with each other given the nature of our roles as consulting teachers in the department in which I'm in. So when I'm leaving my department, as far as leaving like this big gaping hole, that simply isn't going to happen. And it's not going to happen because I wasn't effective at my job. It's just that's the nature of the role that I assume, and I'm totally okay with that. The reality is that life should be able to, and I hope, be able to carry on without me. Nevertheless, the thing is, there has to be a last day. I have to have a last day of work to end my school year and then move to Santa Ynez and then have a first day at Lompoc High School teaching ninth grade English. There has to be one day where it is the last time I get up and drive to the office. There has to be one last day where I scan my badge into the district building. There has to be one last day where I take the elevator up to my office and sit at my desk. And there has to be one last day where I eat lunch with my friends. I'm thinking that you get the point here. Along this whole last day premise, there has to be that very last day where I say goodbye to these people, scan my badge out of the building, and embark upon what is my one last drive home from the office. And in saying that out loud, I mean, I guess it just feels so permanent and like such a big deal while paradoxically feeling inconsequential. I mean, isn't that life? A series of coming and goings from one thing to another, or transitions? And I like to say transitions because isn't that what life is? All but a series of things linked together by transitions, and how smoothly we are able to navigate these transitions or move through these transitions, whether they're difficult, sticky, easy, smooth, whatever they may present for us, how we navigate through these transitions really is what life is comprised of. Transitioning from one threshold from another, and passing through the gateways of life, I mean, that ceaseless movement is what we would define as our lives. But we rarely pay much attention to the comings and goings of people as they enter, re-enter, and exit our lives. We seem to just rarely pay attention to it as a whole. So what happens when you're that person? You're that person that's going from somewhere en route to somewhere else. And why does it feel so different when it's you versus being a bystander? And I guess what I'm really grappling with here is, why am I struggling with how I'm supposed to feel while wrapping up my time in LA? I guess that makes me normal. I don't really know. But transitioning into my new life wouldn't be so hard if I were just there. And I keep telling myself that over and over and over again. If I can just fast forward this, if I can just get to this next phase. But I do know that just fast forwarding and just getting to that next phase is skipping all of the stuff that I have to experience. Like, I have to go through the challenges that are ahead of me in the next coming weeks. I have to endure packing up and moving and settling in and making new friends. I have to say goodbye. I have to face all this ugly awkwardness of saying goodbye to people that I don't want to say goodbye to, and say goodbye to people that I want to say goodbye to. But I don't have some sort of magic lamp where I can just say, poof, life in LA is over. Country life commence. Like, if everything just abruptly ended and then I didn't have the time to overthink it. I've worked for Equinox for over 6 years, and I have taught countless classes at a variety of locations all over the city and cycled, pun intended, because I teach cycling, in and out of locations based on the needs of the clubs, my class performance, and my own needs. I also worked at a boutique yoga studio for 5 years. I no longer work there, but at the time when I left nearly 2 years ago, I whittled my schedule down to only one class per week. And when I decided to give that class up, I did so under the guise of needing to, quote, take a break, and that, quote, air quotes, I'll be back in the new year to take it back. And the new year was because I gave the class up in October. And to a degree, perhaps I truly intended to do just that, to take a break and then resume teaching the class a few months later when I was recharged. But in hindsight, as I look back, I don't think that I really intended to do that at all. Saying that I was taking a break, I now know was my way of coping with giving up a class that I taught every single Sunday morning for 5 years. And that's just it. It was every single Sunday morning for 5 years. It was all these people, 60 people that showed up on a Sunday morning for me, which that's just the whole ego aspect of it. Because these people, yes, they come because they like what I offer, but a large portion of why I stuck things out for as long as I did was the ego. And of course, you know, the money was pretty good. But saying that I was going to be back made leaving something that I helped build, literally, since it was a grassroots movement on everyone's behalf to get that studio up and running, it seemed like somehow it was less permanent. You know, I think it really just boils down to is this. Is sometimes we need to tell ourselves something in the moment, even though we know deep down inside it isn't true. And I think it's kind of a temporary band-aid until we're ready to confront ourselves, or that we're ready to muster up the courage to go through with something. And for me, at the time when I decided I could no longer teach that Sunday morning class, it was because it simply wasn't bringing me joy anymore. That's really it. I no longer woke up on Sunday mornings excited to teach it. I remember that it was my favorite class. I looked forward to teaching it all week. I got psyched to make my playlist, to plan my class. It was the heartbeat of my soul. I absolutely loved walking in there on a Sunday morning at 9:15, 9:30, whatever it was, and there was already a line outside the studio of people waiting to get in to set up their mats because class was always full and we had to turn people away. It was, and it still remains, a really special part of my life. But there just came this point where I didn't feel the same about the class anymore. I was getting tremendous anxiety. I wasn't looking forward to it. And I had to sit with myself and really recognize that my emotions were a signal. And beyond that, was I felt that the numbers in the class were dwindling and that attendance was kind of falling off. And I mentioned this to the owner and she disagreed with me. And I think that part of why I was really scrutinizing the attendance was my own attempt to rationalize my excuse, another coping mechanism with walking away from something, relinquishing my attachment to something that I had for so long. But as well, there was some other moving parts, and I think it's important to mention this, was that I was deep in the throes of my depression, and it had a complete and utter stronghold on my ability to garner any sort of happiness in any capacity. So teaching that last class, to me, was a massive relief. And by telling people, my former yoga students, that this wasn't goodbye, but a see you soon, all that awkward last class business was circumvented. In fact, I didn't even post that it was my last class on social media. And prior to that last class, the studio reached out to me and asked me if I wanted them to make a post alerting members that it would be my last class for a while, but I declined. Simply, I just wanted to fade away without any pomp and circumstance. I just wanted to disappear. Interestingly enough, in giving up the class, I thought that it was going to feel weird. And when I say that I thought it was going to feel weird, I'm talking about all of it. Teaching that last class and never walking back into a studio where I spent 5 years of my life, not seeing people that I saw more than I see my family, being that they live on the East Coast, and not getting up on a Sunday to drive to the studio to teach my class, I was worried and fearsome that it was going to feel foreign to me to have a Sunday to myself, all to myself, to wake up on a Sunday and say, like, wow, what am I going to do today? Oh my God, like, today I can get up and go take class for myself instead of having to go teach class for other people. So I said to my husband while I was working through all of these emotions that I had anticipated that it was going to be strange to wake up on a Sunday and not have to teach my class. And I had inquired and said, I think I'm really going to miss it, or I wonder if I'm going to miss it. My husband just simply said to me, and he's not a man of very many words, but he literally just said to me, no, I don't think you're going to miss it. And I remember being like, well, we'll see. And you know what? And he's going to love that I'm saying this. He was right. I didn't miss it. And I never did come back from my break or my hiatus. But with Equinox, it's just different. I don't know if it's because I have so many classes and I've worked for the company for over 6 years. It just feels like there are just so many, quote, lasts. And by so many last classes, it's so many last chances, so many last opportunities for me to put on that mic for the last time. So many chances and so many opportunities for me to walk in and out of those studios for the last time. So many chances and so many opportunities for me to spend time in this space and wonder, will I miss it? At one location in particular, I have taught in the same time slots for 4.5 years. Both my cycling class and main studio classes at the downtown location are my longest standing permanent classes with the company, and they're so very special to me. First and foremost, the members have been with me for years. And when I say by years, when I did my bodybuilding show, which I feel like at this point is probably 3 years ago, the members got me a cactus with a card, and I had the cactus, little succulent, in my classroom, oh God, until I killed it. So probably about a year, maybe even 2 years. And they saw me through it. They saw me change my body. They saw me put on muscle. They watched me cut. They came to my show. They supported me. And what's more is that they were there for me when I made my transition into the main studio to teach my first ever main studio class. And that, and for so many other reasons, they're just so special to me. These are people that come to my birthday parties. These are people that listen to my podcast. So shout out to you, Robert and Darlene. I hope that they're smiling. And I don't know if Darlene even listens to this. They're married and they take my cycling class. But I know Robert does, because every Tuesday he walks in and he gives me the lowdown on what he thought of my episode. So when I say that these endings are hard for me, they're weird and they're awkward. I'm self-aware enough to know and understand that the whole world at Equinox and Group Fitness doesn't revolve around me, that the sun doesn't rise and set with my existence in teaching my Tuesday night classes and the other classes that I teach, which means I also don't expect that the members who take my classes are to really care that I'm moving. And I know that that sounds really callous, so I'm going to rephrase that. I know that some people do care about me beyond the 45 to 60 minute increments that we share weekly. And many members have grown into close personal friends of mine. But are these members going to sink in an irreparable deep depression, stop taking class, cancel their memberships, and follow me all the way to the Central Coast? Absolutely not. Sure, they may remark to one another what they liked about me versus the new instructors who will assume my time slots, but will my absence mark the unraveling of Equinox as we know it? I mean, come on. Like most industries, I know that I am replaceable, disposable, and expendable. And that's not me being mean or insensitive. That's just the reality. It's a basic tenet of out of sight, out of mind. And you know what? It's just life. Life ebbs on for the entire world, whether or not I'm directly occupying one's universe or not. So I teach my last class or classes. Do I expect a send-off or some tearful goodbye? I mean, expectations only lead to disappointments. Will I cry? You bet your ass I will. I will likely cry multiple times while actually teaching each and every one of my last classes at each location. I'm very emotional and I'm very sensitive, and I care deeply. And someone said to me tonight when she was leaving my class that about my energy and how much she loves what I bring. And she just encompassed how I hope people feel when they take my class. And it's really emotional for me. And she just was like, you are just love. And people don't have that. You are just love. And I teared up when she said that, because I was grateful that she felt what I feel doing what I do. I absolutely love being in a room, sweating with people, motivating them and inspiring them. Teaching for Equinox has been and will likely remain one of the best parts of my adult life. And would it be nice if members or people did something for me, signed a card, brought me balloons, purchased items for my classroom for my Amazon wish list. I know, shameless self-plug here for my classroom. Sorry, not sorry, but I do have an Amazon wish list for my classroom. It would be nice, but do I expect it? No. Like I mentioned, plant an expectation, reap a disappointment. See, therein lies what I find is the difficult part for me. Because if people do express that they'll miss me moving from Los Angeles, it's nice and, quote, unexpected. But if they don't, especially those whom I consider friends and share space with well beyond the fitness realm, well, then I'm left feeling all sorts of feelings, and mostly feelings of hurt, wondering, did I really matter or do I really matter to these people at all? Do you see what I'm talking about here? It's really like a goddamn catch-22. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. So if people do something for me, it appears, quote, unexpectedly unexpected. But if they don't, that's just the way things are. And, well, no one is expected to do anything for anyone, let alone me. I think what I'm saying here, or at least trying to say, is I don't expect anything, yet would be saddened if people don't express their appreciation. Ugh. I don't even know if any of this makes any sense. Does it make any sense to you? Holy shit. The only thing I could think about here is goodbyes are fucking difficult. I swear. Honestly, I contemplated just teaching my last class and at the end making it some sort of trite announcement being like, hey, so this was my last class. Holler at your girl on IG. I'm serious. I am completely serious. And I swear when I tell you that I considered not telling people I were leaving. I thought about just disappearing, kind of like with the yoga studio. Here one day, gone the next. But then I thought about it. And I remembered something that my best friend had said to me. When I told her that people would get over me leaving, which they will, she reminded me to not trivialize the relationships that I have built with other people and that they will truly miss me. And she reminded me about the fact that I cannot downplay the relationships I have spent years cultivating with people. And she also pointed out that it really devalues how people feel about me if I just boil it down to, well, they'll get over it. And she's right. There will be people who will miss me. So out of courtesy for the people in my life and the ones who care about me, I had decided to give people 6 weeks to arrange their schedules, to get their asses to class, to make it a point to come see me and say their goodbyes. This time around, I wanted leaving to look and feel different. Still, no going away party, but I wanted to honor those in my life by giving them the time and space to see me off, send me off, and bid me well as I conclude one chapter of my life and begin writing a new one because they deserve that. And much like writing, because you know, English teacher here, the ending of a story and the beginning of a story are the most challenging elements of composing any narrative. And they say that life imitates art. Like the written word, we fumble at the beginning. Things aren't quite right and clunky and uncomfortable. But nonetheless, one settles in and ultimately finds their groove. And it seems like any other tale or lesson, once one is just getting comfortable and feels like they found their stride, shit is shaken up. And that's life. But as with any good story, there is an ending or conclusion of a book, a chapter, or a series. And sometimes the ending is happy. And sometimes the ending leaves us bereft. And sometimes the ending isn't quite over. And that's where I'd like to think my story concludes. Or is it just the beginning? Who really knows? Are endings beginnings? Or are beginnings endings? Thank you so much for listening to Leveling Up with Arielle Miller. It was a pleasure sharing this with you as always. Please remember to go ahead and follow me on social media at Arielle_Miller on this journey. And if you haven't already checked out my website, thegirlwithpurplehair.com, please go ahead and do so because in addition to this podcast, I do share content on my blog with you and I would hate for you to go ahead and miss the musings of my life. Thank you so much for all that you do. I appreciate you and love you. Mean it. Mwah.